want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Seething. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
We're going to go to Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. So it says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of God, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." I like that scripture because it takes me off my high horse and puts me before the throne of God. Did you notice that as you're reading it? It just kind of corrects your perspective that, whoa, we need to be careful how we respond to the Lord, right? We need to understand who he is and that we're just incapable of even giving anything to the Lord. In fact, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" How can I even give him a gift back that comes anywhere close to matching what he does for me? And the response is, and it's the right response, "I shall take the cup of salvation." So it sounds like, well, wait a minute, you're being kind of snatchy there. That's exactly what he wants. He wants you to receive the gift that he made for you. That's how you bless God. So it's like, you know, at Christmas time when we have, you know, hovered over our gifts and we spent our money, we thought about it, maybe we made it ourselves, but what do we want the recipient to do? Do we want them to pay us back? No, we just want them to receive it and we want it to become a delight. So the salvation of the Lord is to be a delight to us. That's how you pay him back. That's how you give to God. And of course, in giving to God, you're getting. That's kind of a strange thing for us, right? And so that passage says, who can give to the Lord? No one. So we should stop. We should stop trying to work things out and start praying things out, right? So tonight, the word that the Lord gave me was a picture of a simmer. And a simmer is just like seething. In fact, the word seething can be used in place of simmer. So that pot is seething. It's not quite at a full boil because it's not boiling up at a full rolling boil. It's just at that simmering point, right? But if we added a little more heat, we could change things, right? We could also turn the heat off and the water would stop boiling pretty quickly. And it would also cool off and go back to being refreshing. So the picture is emotional, though. What is seething? And so when someone is seething, they are keeping a hot passion against something or someone inside their heart, but it's just like that. It's on a low simmer. It's unseen to the person that it's for, right, that it's directed at. So the heat is there inside their soul, and they're seething. And in that seething, they think they're okay because they think they have their anger under control because they're only seething. They're not boiling over. And as long as you're not boiling over, surely you must be in control. Isn't that what the fruit of the Spirit is? Keep yourself seething, not boiling over. Doesn't that sound like I should be proud of myself if I can just seethe and not be boiling over? But that is what we think. We think, in fact, that we're not even angry when we're here. We think we're not angry until we want to say things, do things, lash out, right? Then we're angry. So most of our anger management that we try to apply to ourselves is just based on not boiling over. That's all we want to do, just not boil over. But we need to roll some things back, right? So we need to understand that, you know, rage and boiling over is definitely something you want to avoid. And that passage in Romans, it kind of puts it in perspective, huh? Who are we to be getting all undone with another human being that we did not create? Ow. Okay. So who are we to mistreat someone and be mad at them? Well, usually we're not mistreating them when we're mad at them. They mistreated us, right? Because we're all good people. We don't get mad at people for no reason. We only get mad at them when they did something to us. Is that right? Am I in the right room? Okay, so only when they did something to us. Otherwise, we good, right? We don't have a problem. So the thing is when the temperature is low, like you can turn that fire down real low and you won't even get bubbles, but it'll still be really close. It'll get up to 200 degrees with just a little fire underneath it on low. And the problem with a low temp, which would be frustration or fear or dread or even lust, because you can want something and not be allowed to have it and then get mad about it, right? That's kind of very common. Of course, Christians don't do that, though. We only get mad when they do something to us. That's all. Only then. And it's only righteous anger. It's because they need to stop already, right? Yeah. Right. I mean, I latched on. This is for me, by the way. This whole thing is for me. So I latched on to that scripture that said, be angry and sin not. Okay, it said I can be angry. It just said sin not. Well, okay, is there a way to be angry and not sin? Well, it depends. Pull Romans back up. Who's God in your anger? Are you and are they? Thank you for telling us that the Messenger X app is out, and so you can watch all their videos. And there was one that I watched almost out of spitefulness because I thought, surely it's going to be ridiculous. And it was wonderful because it said something about, get your personal power back in 7 days. I sent it to Timmy, and he asked me if I'd been hacked, because that's definitely not a topic that I would send out, right? It's like, and so I'm watching it thinking it's going to be, oh my goodness, that's ridiculous. You don't need your personal power. You need God's power, right? So I thought it'd be ridiculous. Well, it was wonderful because it's about personal responsibility, which is where your personal power comes from God, right? So it's really good. But one of the analogies that they used was like in a marriage, the people in a marriage stay independent. They stay individual. You are combined together and become one flesh, but you have your own will and you have your own freedoms and you can do what you want to an extent, right? You have your own little circle. And so he used a hula hoop and he put it around this couple and he put each one a hula hoop. He said, now around them is a big hula hoop that separates them from everybody else. That's the forsaking all others thing, you know. But what he did was he talked about anger in that video, so I suggest you watch it. It's only 6 minutes. The little videos are 6 minutes long, and there's only 7 of them. Yeah, it really is good and engaging, and so we recommend it because the author is... the guy on the video is covering a lot of good topics. And we were like, this is exactly right. If you got this, you won't have any marital problems at all. If you get what he said. Now, not only for marriages, but it applies to every relationship on the planet, parents and children. In fact, he even brought up a parent, a mom, who wanted her daughter to come home for Thanksgiving, and the daughter wanted to go skiing with her friends. And so there was a conflict, and the mom was trying to force the daughter to stay, and the daughter was gonna go skiing. Well, she's an adult. She has every right to go skiing. So the daughter wisely said, look, Mom, I'll be there for Christmas. De-escalated, right? But I'm not gonna be there for Thanksgiving. I'm going skiing. Wish me luck. Yeah, hope I do well. Ask me to have fun. You know, just be about somebody else besides yourself over there. But Mom's trying to keep the family together and all this stuff. So he brought up this conflict that happens in a lot of families. at the holidays. So I thought it was really good. And what he did was he said, Mom's got a circle, but that daughter's got her own circle and they're independent because she's an adult. Now, when she was a minor, she was in the circle. But once she's an adult, she's not in the circle. So see, the whole thing about your circle applies in every relationship. So I like to say, not my monkey, not my circus. But now I'm going to have to say, not my circle. Yeah, because if it's not really my responsibility, then I don't need to be getting upset about what somebody else is doing in their circle. That was really good, right? And it doesn't matter that you're married to them. If I don't have the responsibility, I don't need to worry about what's going on in their circle. Now, that is hard for a Christian because we want to clean them up. The Bible doesn't give you that permission. It doesn't. And look, I'm on board with let's clean them up. But the Bible doesn't give you that permission. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. And it also says that if the unbelieving husband chooses to stay or the unbelieving wife, then the believing spouse sanctifies the unbeliever. So you can have a spouse just being an all-out heathen. I mean, we can name sins, but we don't need to. So you probably know people who are unequally yoked. And they got a spouse doing all kinds of jankety business that they shouldn't be doing. Well, that's going to upset this one. But heaven didn't appoint that to my circle. It's not in my circle. But wait a minute. That's hurting me. My finances, my children, influence. And I start thinking of all these reasons why it's in my circle. But it's not in my circle. So when I can start to separate what is my responsibility, see what we do, and the video put a really good, really explained this well, is we put our responsibility off on the other person. So my joy, my peace, my chill, my satisfaction, is affected by them? No, it's not. Because God gave us the peace that passes understanding. And if I'm not walking in it, it's my circle. So what I'm doing is I'm giving my responsibility over to them. So we're going to change the word responsibility. We're going to change it from, you know, the things I have to do because that's my circle, to my responsibility to God. When I make them control me, then I can't respond to God because they're in control. Right. Now you know why. You can't hear from God when you made somebody else responsible for you, right? So when you're blaming them because they did something that upset you, you can't hear from God because you're making them a God. You're saying they control your heart. They control your life. They control your reactions. Because of them, I'm angry. Because of what they did, I'm upset. It doesn't work because you have a responsibility before the throne room of God. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And there it says, do not be seething. Do not be on simmer. Do not be anxious. That's what that is, isn't it? Don't be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And what will God do? What will he do? Yeah, I love that because the way I translate it is, be a tattletale, go tell your daddy what they're doing. Do it. Go tell daddy what they're doing. And then the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Now you can let yo-yo affect you, or you can do what it says. Now, here's the thing. God said to don't be anxious. God said no simmering. Now, what's going on when a person is maintaining that seething simmer in their heart? You know, psychologically, in the soulish realm, what we're doing is protecting ourselves. No greater love has this. That's right. You got to lay your life down. No greater love has any man than he lay down his life. For a stranger, for a neighbor, and this is the persons in your family or, you know, whoever it is that you care for, that you love, and you can't lay your life down, and you can't, you have to seethe and simmer, you have to maintain this and protect yourself. So the reason we're seething is because we're perceiving them to be an enemy. Are they really your enemy? No, they're not. They're not your enemy. But they feel like it. Oh, you don't know. You don't know what they did. You don't know how they act. You don't know what they do when they're somewhere else. I don't need to know. That's right. It's not my circle. Because I'm not the Holy Ghost, am I? And what am I doing? I'm working hard to practice Philippians 4, 6 through 10, right? To not be anxious, to take my eyes off of them. The only reason I need to know is to intercede and pray. Amen. And offer direction toward heaven, but do they have to take it? No. Absolutely not. It's just like all of Ann Landers' advice. They can take it or leave it. Of course, it's a lot more valuable than Ann Landers' advice because it's eternity and it's good. I had someone text me that started reading her Bible, and she is finding everything in the scripture. I'm having to go look, what? Wait, he said, what? I have to go look it up and stuff. She's coming up with some good stuff because she's actually reading her Bible. So anyway, she texted, how do I get somebody to believe in heaven? You know, if we knew, that would be a done deal, right? I can't answer that question. I don't know how to get people to believe in heaven. I don't know how to get people to believe in God. I don't know how to get people to practice their faith. I can only tell them what I know. They have to get themselves to believe in heaven, right? So it's not my circle. And we got to be careful as Christians because we think that we have to somehow make them behave in a manner that is going to please heaven. But that's not our circle. Our circle is what's in my circle, please heaven. And this one right here said, I can't be seething. Now we got to figure out where did the seething come from? Because we want to blame the temperature. And so we think we're doing good because we're not blowing a gasket. And so we're wrong, of course. But we don't know. We don't even know that we lit that fire. We think they lit that fire. And so as soon as there is a confrontation, as soon as that fire gets high enough, and you know, you ever notice that when you want to confront somebody, you got to work yourself up to it? Anybody else?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they have to provoke you. They have to just push that button and then poof, you turn that thing up, but you turned it up, right? And you let them have it. And then afterwards you're like, oh yeah, I gave them a piece of my mind. I told them, but it should have never been on. God did not give us permission to turn that fire on. That's a hard reality. He did not. He created them. And so we think the fire is their fault, but we turned it on. And as soon as there's a confrontation, we're going to tell them how they turned the fire on. Oh, no, it's you did it because you this and you that. And we know because we've been seething. We've been keeping that fire just at the right temperature, right? Seething at that simmering point. But at any second, just a little bit more heat and it'll start boiling. And if the contents in there are the kind of contents like a gumbo and you didn't stick the spoon on the pot, what's it going to do? It's going to froth and it's going to boil over and splash everywhere and make a big old mess. The problem with hot boiling liquid is it will burn you. And it's going to burn the one you're offended by. You're going to make sure it does because you've been simmering and you've convinced yourself that they're your enemy. What did Jesus tell us to do with our enemies? To what? Bless them, don't curse, love them. Simmering, seething is not anywhere in the scripture at all. Told y'all this is for me, right? So it's not in there, and I really wish it were, because this is a hard habit to break. It's hard to turn that fire off, because we're self-preserving, so we're not at the throne of God. We're not in the presence of the Father. We're self-preserving, and we are on the throne, right? And now we're over here because we're superior to everybody else, and we're going to be telling them how to run their circle. Yeah. So the thing with the splashing and the frothing and the burning A burn doesn't heal like a cut does. You'd be better off take a sword and cut them. Because when a burn, when it heals, the nerves are damaged. So even though the skin is healed, it's going to continue to hurt. So you touch that thing and it's just like you got burned all over again. So because of the continuing pain, guess what's happening to them? Seething. And so guess what's likely to happen again? A new explosion. More boil over. So there's something called de-escalating. De-escalating is actually something professionals are trained to do. You know why? Professionals, like police officers, FBI agents, they have to, you know, somebody's trying to kill somebody and they're trying to jump off a bridge. They have to de-escalate the person. They have to be trained to do it. Why? It's not natural. It's not natural. No, it's not natural. So somebody comes up at me and they're hotter than a hornet, mad at me, and then they start with all their accusing. What are we going to do? Throw it right back. And oh, no, you didn't. And we're going to deny, right? We're going to, well, maybe it's not even true. So you're right to deny it. But that's not how you de-escalate. So de-escalating is a skill that you can learn. And you can learn it from scripture. It's in there. You can learn it through humility. So in humility, a humble person wants to know why they feel that way. Well, I don't understand. Wait, I want to know what's wrong. Why do you feel that way? But when we're that kind of person, we don't want to know why. And they just need to shut their mouth because they're wrong. And we're going to show them that they're wrong. And then we're going to think about what they said after we square them away, you know, and make them stop accusing us. We're going to think about, and we're going to start our own little fire, right, under that pot. How dare they? So de-escalating requires training and practice. Because you're going to find that anytime you decide, okay, we heard this great message, and we're going to de-escalate from now on, and then somebody's going to provoke you. And the scripture says, be not, that's right, we had the 49 commands of Christ. So we will be not provoked. We'll be harmless as a serpent. Oh, no, that's not right. What is it? Wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And what makes the dove harmless is she can't bite you, right? And so we got to get rid of our fangs and get rid of our canines and lose our ability to fight. Before a person can de-escalate someone else who is accusing, they have to lay down their own defenses. So the police officer on the line who's trying to de-escalate something can't be defensive. He can't take it personally. You've heard that. Don't take it personally, right? I just need you to understand. What? You said what? And then off we go. We can't de-escalate, even with our best intentions, until we lay down our own life. Until we say, no, they have something, whether it's their circle or my circle, I can't even find that out if I'm not willing to listen, okay? And so listening to a bitter person can be kind of dangerous because they can infect you with all kinds of nonsense because they probably will stop talking about you in a short minute and start talking about somebody else, and that's where you got to shut it down. Wait, what did this have to do with me and you? Because I'm only willing to talk about me and you, not willing to talk about you and someone else because I don't want to pick up stuff, right? I don't want to pick up stuff. Don't want to pick up bad attitudes towards someone who isn't here to defend themselves. So the trouble with where we are here is we really don't think we have an anger problem. We would say we're not bitter because I forgave them. I did. I forgave them. Then you see them at Market Basket and you find out, no, you didn't. Well, I did. Just they haven't changed. Oh, is that how it goes? See, when you lay down your defenses, you don't have that. You don't have that wanting to avoid people. And the way to lay down your defenses is you got to go to the throne room. So you got to do what Philippians said. You have to go tattletale and you got to tell them what they did. You got to tell the Lord what they did. You really do. You got to tell them, okay, but here's the thing. When you start complaining about one of God's kids, you might be the one that he corrects. Yes, and that's because you're the one at the throne room that he can correct, right? The other one isn't praying, or they wouldn't be accusing you, because they'd be doing this too, right? So, no, you don't even worry about that. That's their circle, and that's between them and God. And so you go and you talk to the Lord. Lord, I know it's between them and you, but it still hurt my feelings, and I'm wounded, and I don't think I deserve that. And I don't know what to do about it, because now I'm all in, not inside, and I don't want to feel like this. So what does Scripture tell you he would do? Mm-hmm. Yep. So it also says to pray for your enemies, pray for those who despitefully use and persecute. And I'm going to tell you, I have seen people that have come against us no longer exist. So you do pray for them, because their life may be forfeited by their own actions, by their behavior. So where they could have had deliverance, instead, they're gone, right? So you just don't want even people who behave like an enemy, because there's only one enemy. What's his name? Mm-hmm. And all his little minions, right? All those fallen angels, that's it. So there's no enemy. And how did Christ talk to Judas, who was sentencing him to death? How did he talk to him? He called him friend. He talked to him gently, because Christ was looking at the love of God and operating in it for Judas. Because it's like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And we've seen that. We've seen people just do stuff that it doesn't make any sense. So you pray for them. Because if you get caught up being mad at them, guess who's in trouble too? So you have to recognize that simmering is not okay. Turning that fire on is not okay. Because the reason you turn the fire on is because you want to be able to hurt them if need be. You want to be able to defend yourself if need be, right? So it's kind of like, oh, you heard a predator's coming to your house at 9 o'clock, so you're going to have your gun ready. Hope it's not your kid walking in the door. don't make yourself ready like this. Who's your defender? Who's the person taking care of you? And that's a hard position to stay in, because we're pretty convinced that he don't see what we're seeing. Right? I mean, so you should ask him, Lord, do you see this? Do you hear them? Should I be afraid? Because I am. I am scared. I don't like it. I don't want to deal with it. You just have to be forthright, honest, before the throne of God. And then, here's the key. This is what people don't do. When they're mad, they go up, they think they told on God, and now God's going to go get them. That's not how it works. I mean, it could work that way, but you don't really want it to work that way. No. Right? So the way it works is you go before the Father and you cast your cares on him, and then prayer and supplication make your request known to God. So what's your request? Boiling water in their face? No, that's not your request. You want them to stop doing what they're doing. You want them to put the fire out. And he says, put it out. Turn it off. But how? They keep turning it on. Put it out again. Take your pot of water, turn it upside down. Put the fire out. You don't have to be in that condition. If they want to be yahoos, if God lets them, what do we need to do? Let them. If God lets them, what do we need to do? Let them. Doesn't affect you. Doesn't steal your belief. Doesn't affect your faith. Doesn't affect your ability to love. You're doing that. Put the fire out. Because we just do not want to be the person whose request before the Father is to hurt them. Right? But that's why we're boiling the water. That's the end of it. Why are we boiling the water? We would never say that we got the fire on so we can throw it in their face. But that's why you got the fire on. That's why you put the bullets in the .38, right? Because you intend to do harm to someone. So you have to ask yourself, is that person your enemy? Is that person someone that you would say, okay, Lord, you said make my request known to you. My request is that you kill them. But then why you got a pot of boiling water? Why you got a loaded 38? Why you conspiring against them? Why do you want to hurt them? That's not what you want. You want healing? Then you should be praying for them. And you should be asking God. So the request should be, Father, if there's anything that can come into my mouth, any wisdom that can come into my heart that could be helpful to them, I'm here. I'm willing. See, you have to stop being reactive and acting just like a devil, because that's what you're doing. And you gotta come to the Father and become the priest, because we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This part we don't like. A peculiar people. What you mean by that? Peculiar. odd people. Different. Set apart. Absolutely. I'm glad to be different. We got to go to the throne room. We have to leave our enemies for God to deal with. We have to ask God for Holy Ghost help with that de-escalation business. You can't do it if you're not Christ-like, if you're not laying down your life, if you're not willing to redemptively suffer, if you're not willing to be the grape that gets crushed for their sake. So we ask him, Jesus, make me one out of me. You don't mean that. You don't mean it at all. Because it means you're going to have to go through some self-crushing, right? We don't want that. We think it's something magical that Jesus does, and it just happens. It does, and it is. But he's going to have to get you to stop surrendering to your flesh and let the flesh get back into the grave. And when that happens, then you're to maintain. So in Philippians, our circle, he specifically told us what our circle is. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4. And let's read that passage. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. In other words, the peace of God transcends the accusations, turns the fire off, right? It douses it. It puts it out. The water goes back to being cool and refreshing. No longer a danger that's going to scar and hurt and do more, create more trauma. It's no longer a threat. That benign water that refreshes you and hydrates you is going to take your life or take the person that you're angry with, right? Going to destroy them. The scripture says, how long will you keep on biting and devouring one another? What's it talking about? Seething. So we think it's anger, boo, but it's not. It's not expressed wrath. I mean, it can be, but it's the seething. It's the anxiousness. It could even be a lustful desire that is unholy to start with. But that's not our hoop unless it's our lustful desire, right? So we're not to be the investigator, which is hard, especially for girls. Why? Because girls have intuitiveness. We know what they're thinking. We know why they're doing what they're doing. Do we? Do we know why? We got internal lie detectors. Yeah, we can. Any girl in this room can't tell when they're lying. See, we got them. Now, the guys can tell, too, but they got a whole different set of rules to their game. So they don't think like us, okay? And they think closer to God than we do. What? How could that be? We're the spiritual ones. No, it's not true. You don't have the kind of faith that they have. So the kind of faith that they have is raw, on edge, and it will go when we're sitting here trying to make it emotional before we do, right? Okay, so then the peace of God, which transcends all our brains, thoughts, and the simmer that we've been maintaining, all of a sudden douses out the fire. And then it guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So that stuff's not allowed back in. He shuts the door on it. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Now, here we go. What he's doing now is telling you how to keep that anger gone. He's telling you how to not light that fire. You have a maintenance. This is your circle. This is what you have to do. Whatever things are true, well, it's true they did that. That's not your circle, not your responsibility. Whatever things are true, where's all truth come from? Whatever things are honorable, where do we find honorable things? Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue. What are we supposed to do? Think on those things. Whatever's admirable, if it's excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So what happens to the fire if you think on those things? That's right, it's gone. There's no fire. And guess what you're feeling? Chill. I tease a lot that I was elated to go through menopause because in our younger part of the first 20 years of our marriage, I would say, what you thinking about? And he would say, nothing. And I would say, I don't believe you. It's impossible to think about nothing. You just don't want to tell me. I'm not thinking about nothing. You are thinking about something. What's her name? Ever go there? Am I the only girl in the room? Ever go there? Okay. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. But then something happens. Estrogen depletes, you go through menopause, and your brain can think about nothing. And then you're going, I'm sorry, honey, you really can think about nothing. I actually said that to him. I didn't know it was possible. But it's bliss. It's heaven. It's wonderful. You can just sit there and not think about anything. Nothing. You can just let your brain go blank. That was impossible in the first 40 years of my life, right? How many girls in the middle of the night, your brain is just going 90 nothing. You wake up and you're still compiling a list. You were sleeping, but your brain is still going. Yeah, but when estrogen goes away, you'll just wake up and went, what time is it? It's too early. And you go back to bed. I stayed up half the night all through my 40s. Then finally it was over. Not 40s, 30s. Then it was over in my 40s, and I was like sitting there thinking about nothing and enjoying my sleep. It's wonderful. Well, guess what? Philippians will get you to the same place, even with estrogen. Philippians will get you to that quietness where their circle is not your circle and you don't worry about it. So, but wait a minute. Aren't we supposed to carry each other's burdens? But you're not carrying the burdens when you light a fire, are you? No. Well, aren't we supposed to love one another? Yes, the fire is not love. Let me help you with that. Okay, so wait a minute. Are we supposed to disciple one another? Well, yeah, with the word of God, and you just kind of hold it up. Look, this is what you do. You hold it up on the edge of your circle. You speak it, and they can put their fingers in their ears and go blah, blah, blah if they want to. They can. There was one discussion Pastor and I had, and it wasn't being heard. So the Holy Spirit said, just tell him once. So I said, listed it out, and I said, Ann, that's the only time I'm going to say it, because I told God. I got results, y'all, because what did I do? I left it in his responsibility, not my responsibility. Just one time's all it takes. If you keep on with it, then you're trying to be God, and you're over in their circle. So just one time. Thank you, Lord. Go tell them. Go tell God. You might be right, and he might convict them. If they're in their circle, they can hear from heaven, right? Unless they're seething. Now, if they're seething, the Holy Spirit can help you. And, you know, have you ever noticed, especially in relationships where there's a length to it, you know, family of any kind, that's seething. It don't last a day. That's why the scripture says, don't let it go down on your You know, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Well, that includes seething. Stop thinking about it. Just forget it. Get it out your circle. It's none of your business, right? That's not your monkey, not your circle. Well, that's my child. That's my mama. That's my auntie. That's my... No, it's not. I mean, it is, but it's not your business. It's not your circle. So you have to be able to get yourself back into minding your own P's and Q's and not worrying about theirs. So if they're blowing it, you should be interceding for them, because if they're really guilty, they're guilty before a holy and just God, your compassion ought to say, I'm not okay with that, and go to heaven. And your request ought to be, Father, I don't want to see them lose eternity. What can I do? Because that's sometimes what causes us to seethe, right? Sometimes we're worried about whether or not they're going to make eternity. And so we're mad at them for not being holy enough. Who are you to judge whether or not they're holy enough? But we think we are. You don't even have your own act straight. Right? But you think you can straighten out theirs? You don't even speak and act like you ought to, because this message wouldn't mean squat to you if you could. So you can't. And you're going to control them? You can't. So you got to mind your own business. And your business should keep you plenty busy if you're actually reading the scripture. I mean, when you're reading the scripture, that Philippians 4, don't be anxious, but I want to be anxious. I like being mad at them. I feel better when I'm mad at them. Maybe I won't let them do it again if I'm mad at them. Nah, turn the other cheek, let them do it again. What? What? No. Is there somebody else up there? Right? Go give them some cookies. Cookies! I got some boiling water. Cookies! I actually had that happen. We had a student at school, very antagonistic, and we would get in trouble if our house wasn't, you know, perfect and everything else. Well, that student put a bag of his trash, just threw it under my house so he wouldn't have to go down to the dumpster at the bottom of the hill. And so we knew it was his because he was the only one with diapers that size in the neighborhood, right? But he denied it. I didn't put that under there, but I'll clean it up if you want me to. And it's like, ugh. So I was so mad at him for a lot of reasons. That was just one incident. And so I decided I'm going to talk to the president. And I'm telling on him because this is ridiculous, because I'm going to get in trouble behind his stuff, because that's his trash. And if the president comes and sees his trash under my house, then I'm going to get in trouble. So I'm going to talk to the president. He said, I tell you what, this is the problem. They got three kids and this is their third strike. So if I go talk to them, I have to kick them off campus. What? Why can't you just, what? So it'll be your fault, Cindy Maria, if this family with three kids get kicked off a campus. What? Wait a minute. You're the president. Go make them pick up his bag of trash and get it out from under my house. That's what you're supposed to do, right? That's how we do God, too. And you know what he told me? He said, why don't you make him a pie? I don't even know how to make a pie. Why? Why make him a pie? Just go offer him a peace offering. But I didn't start the war. That doesn't make sense, does it? So I made some cookies because I didn't know how to do pies. But the president's wife did teach me how to make pies. So I brought the cookies over. And do you think I went in there with a warm sweetheart? I said, I brought you some cookies. And he took them and he went, you didn't really want to do this, did you? I said, no. But it's the right thing to do. He was actually much more gracious than I was, right? Right? So he smiled and he said, well, thank you, because that was nice. So it de-escalated. Do you know that we're still friends? And he's needed a friend, believe me, because his life has been just like it was, right? He's just one of those out-of-control people in his circle, not in mine. So why was I giving him cookies? Getting him out of my circle. But it took me a lot of years to figure that out. That acts of kindness bless and do not curse. Bless, give them cookies, be nice to them, do something that'll blow them away. Try to be nice, try to really mean it. It probably gets you a lot more brownie points if you really, really mean it. So we need to bless and not curse. And we need to recognize that we're treating people in our mind with hostility because we think they're hostile to us. And that's really what it boils down to usually, right? Now, unrighteous people, it's because they want something and they ain't getting it sometimes. But most people really believe that they are being wronged. And that other person is breaking the rules. So what are we going to do about it? Well, you're not going to do nothing about it. Simple. You're not going to do anything about it but go to the Father. Then if the Father wants to do something about it and he wants to use your hands and feet, he's perfectly capable of telling you, this is what I want you to do. Go bring them some cookies. Turn the other cheek. Pray for them. He can tell you that, right? Maybe all that will happen is you get it out of your circle because you've deposited it before the Father. So just like when I told the president how the student was acting, I expected to just give it to him and now it's his problem, right? Because it's his student. And sometimes with God, that is what happens. You just give it to him because that's his person. I didn't make him. I'm not responsible for them, right? But sometimes for my sake, I need to bless them. I need to pray for them till I can love them from a sincere heart. I need to be able to give them something from me that's kind and loving. Now, if we would do that for a student who threw trash under our house, can we think of people much closer that we should work on doing that for? That we should work on being a blessing? That we should work on, when you know you have aught against someone, leave your gift at the altar and go and de-escalate. Be reconciled. Don't come up to the altar, is what Jesus is saying, thinking that you're okay when you got a hot pot of almost ready to boil water inside your heart. You can't fool God. So the problem now is, well, how do I calm it down? We've already answered that. How? How do you get rid of it? Yep. Get it out of your circle. Give it to the Lord. And then peace that passes understanding guards your heart and your mind. I'm a child with a lot of favor in heaven. Am I the only one in this room?
No.
How many of you know you walk in amazing favor before the throne of God? That God looks out for you. Sometimes he answers your prayer before you even get it out of your mouth. It's just a thought. I remember one time we were on Markle Blue Road. It was a house we were renting, and they had a humongous pothole that could swallow a Volkswagen at the end of it. And we were backing up, and again, it had been raining, so the pothole was full and stuff. And so I said, man, it'd be great if these people laying this asphalt would fill up that hole while I'm gone. You know what happened? They did. I didn't say that out loud. When I got back, there was about 20 feet of asphalt all across the driveway. It was so nice. No more big badoop, bloop, bloosh, and no more. God knows the attitude and intent of your heart. So isn't that alone good reason to keep that fire off? Because you have no right. None. Who are we to think that we know the attitude and the intent of God Almighty? Who are we to go before him and decide how the world ought to be? His ways are beyond us. So it's really up to us to just keep our hearts right this way so that he can speak to us. So we walk in that favor that I just described. That God has met you, you all have testimonies like that. Maybe not asphalt and driveways, but you've got testimonies where you didn't even get the request out your mouth, and there's the answer. I remember after the storm, the phone rings, somebody gives a request for a generator. The doorbell rings, and there's Brandon Sanchez with a generator. It's like, that's crazy, right? That was amazing. That's favor. That's favor. How many times did he prove himself to us that he's watching over us and we're going to decide when he isn't? Yes. And that when somebody comes and provokes, we can't choose to not be provoked. You can't lay your life down. You can't put your defenses off. It's hard. I know, but it's not hard. All you got to do is tattletale. Be a tattletale. I'm the oldest. Oldest is not typically tattletales. It's the youngest that tattletales, right? But I have learned to be a tattletale and to give authority their hoop. But sometimes it's not the authority that needs the hoop. It's the person. So sometimes you just got to let them a lot sometimes. Even if you think they're doing damage, they might not be. Now, if it's a minor, someone in your household, they don't have a hula hoop yet, right? No. You footing the bills. You're the parent. They don't have a hula hoop yet. Sorry, minors. You don't. Until you can walk in your own faith and be a person who is self-sufficient through heaven's provisions, and you're living off your parents, no hula hoop for you. But you should start living like you got one. You should start living with responsibility. I had a 19-year-old one time tell me that I couldn't tell them what to do. And I had believed that for way too many years. And then the Lord said, are they acting like a 19-year-old? Mm-mm. Are they responsible, paying their bills? Are they treating people with dignity and respect? Mm-mm. Are they doing things that do not represent well the way they were created to be as a 19-year-old? Mm-mm. Then they don't get the 19-year-old status. I don't care how many years they got. So control comes back until you walk in what you've been given, right? So that's different when it comes to kids. Kids don't get to boss parents. It's the other way around. But kids do get to honor. And in honoring, you're guaranteed a long life and satisfaction on the earth. Because when you honor, then the things that you're being given to walk in that you know are right, that you know are scriptural, and you walk in them, are going to bless your life. But if you make it a war and you're always seething at the authority in your life, it's not just kids that do that, right? How about our bosses? Always seething at those authorities because they don't do what we want them to do. They're not there to do what you want them to do. What are they there for? They're on an assignment. They have a calling. Parents have a calling. They're on an assignment. And they're not there to make you happy. Not at all. They're there to make you healthy and whole and to have faith that is vibrant that will bring them to the perfect will of God for their life. So hopefully they're doing that well. If they're not, you ought to be talking to heaven and making sure that you're getting yours, right? Let's stand to our feet. So whatever things, all those good things, do it, put it into practice. Whatever we've learned or received, put it into practice. Father, I thank you for this word this morning and the opportunity to share it tonight. And I pray that as we meditate on it and meditate on the posture that you would have before us, that we would be able to be made into new wine. Yes. And that we'd be able to flip that pot over and put that fire out so that times of refreshing may come. Yes. We don't have to win everyone. They don't have to understand. We just have to keep things right with you. And Father, the goodness and the kindness, just the wonderful atmosphere you give to believers who don't have this habit. Father, I pray that as you've exposed some things this evening in our hearts, that we will quickly come to repentance. Yes. And begin the practice of thinking on your word and your promises and your plans, your provision, how good and great you are, and how good and great the people you created are, their purposes, what they've been called to, and to rejoice in them and to find something good in them because you haven't given up on them. So there must be some hope. I thank you, Father, for reigniting our calling and getting us to stop taking the devil bait cleansing our heart, washing us, making us new. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.